Welcome to Science Importance, a War Machine and Horse podcast based out of Buffalo, New York. Today we are here with myself, Bill.
Paul.
Adam.
And we're going to be talking to you about Lock and Load. It's over.
We did not go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I watched on my lunch break.
Oh, the keynote? Yeah, yeah. So did I. So we have a lot of spoilers to go over from Lock and Load. We also have a new steamroller packet.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. First, though, going over a few tournaments coming up in the area. On July 14th at Collector's Inn, we have a 75-point steamroller, which is a World Ender point tournament. It's the last one, actually. It'll be using the new steamroller for it, and it'll start at 10 a.m. on that date.
So. Dice are at 10. Or, no. Reg is at 10, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, should be a good time. I unfortunately will be away on vacation, so I won't get to play. But we'll have plenty of guys there to play. Come on out.
Come out, eat tacos.
Yeah, there's always right taco lunch. For it. So yeah, should be, like I said, a good time. Last one before TGX, because TGX is the next week, 20th, 21st, and the 22nd. TGX has the World Ender Invitational, which is a War Machine Weekend qualifier in it. We know that one of our guys, Cody, has a good chance of qualifying. Paul and I will be there. I'll be there Friday and Saturday playing in the Last Chance qualifier and the team event. And Paul will be joining me on Saturday for the team event.
Yeah, playing with Cody as well.
Yeah, we're going to play with Cody. So we'll have a nice little Buffalo team there to try to compete and see how that goes.
And the full name is Tabletop Gaming Expo, I think, right?
Yeah.
Up in Toronto area.
Yeah, it's technically in Mississauga, but yeah, basically the greater Toronto area. It's ran by our friend, or at least the War Machine portion is run by our friend Scott Tirico. He does the Ontario Team Championship, so it'll be good to see him. And make it out. On top of that, we do finally have a date for Food Machine 2018. It's run by Adam and our good friend Gail out of Rochester. It'll be December 8th.
Yep.
Beautiful. And Adam has something special about it that he'd like to announce that we've never done before.
Yeah, it's a three-man team event this year.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty fun.
Is it going to be a German-style
team event? I don't know yet. I'll let you know. We'll have more details when I get them.
I haven't played in Food Machine in a couple of years. I've been helping out, but I'm actually pretty excited to play in this one, I think.
Yeah, should be a good one. I wouldn't be surprised, or maybe I'm wrong by this, Paul can tell me, that we have a Science Importance team submitting for it.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll probably do all sorts of crazy stuff with, because there's always, like, ridiculous cheats, like putting other factions' models in your lists and stuff. We might even like do faction swaps, who knows. Me and Adam will probably find something fun to do with.
Oh, I won't be doing anything.
That's true.
That's all
find,
you.
We'll find some third person to Pat. Yeah, we'll have Pat and do some swapping models, who knows. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll play around. I mean, we'll help out too where it is, but hopefully we'll be able to donate a lot to the Western New York Food Bank this year. And you know, we apologize, over the next couple months you'll be hearing plenty about it. Maybe we'll have some spoilers on some things. We'll use the podcast to spoil some things if Adam and Gail let us. And then maybe we'll even talk about some of our stupid ideas we have for it once all the rules are out. Perfect. So, new steamroller packet, gentlemen.
Yeah,
not a lot of
good
changes. It stayed very similar. We lost two scenarios, and we had a little bit of change to one. Three of them are still the same.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. We did have a few different things that came about, though, with it. The big ones is that there's no longer a 15-minute or 15-second turn need any longer at the end of the game. I think this is probably something that grew out of... Mark II just kind of stayed, but with the 7-turn limit, just doesn't need to be there any longer.
Yeah, it's inapplicable. It just doesn't.
Yeah. And then the big one that I'm excited about is no more DNC Zero. Or, sorry, DNC One. It's all DNC Zero now.
Yeah. Which, very nice.
Yeah, it's great. Great for new players, only having to bring one list to a tournament if they're just starting out doing tournaments for the first time. Which I think is huge.
The vast majority of events were also already like DNC Zero, but then every now and then when there was a DNC One event, like at the Southern Ontario Open, it was like, it was super weird and nobody knew what to do really, like having to think about that anymore, and it's nice to not have to deal with it.
Right, no more getting trapped in the finals with a list that you wouldn't have played normally.
Well, and even just like bringing lists where you're like, well, this is only pretty good against like a couple very specific things, and if I don't see those, it's gonna suck.
Yeah, it can challenge old players too by taking one list to a tournament. Like I'd see myself doing that to a local event that I'm just like, I've been wanting to get a bunch of games with this dude, so why not?
Right.
I don't even remember the last time I had a DNC in one of my tournaments.
Yeah, it's better for everything all the way around.
So. Yeah, I think everybody pretty much likes this. Yeah. I haven't heard anybody complain about that part.
And that goes through champs. It goes through masters as well.
Yeah.
For these changes, and the big thing about this is that one, like Adam said, a lot of local events are doing it this way anyways. But also, it doesn't take away anything. You can still play. You can still bring two lists and play two lists. There's no one telling you can't. So, I think it's just a better quality of life change. So, any other big changes to the steamroller here before we get into the scenarios?
I think we're all upset that the objectives didn't change a little bit.
Oh, that's true. The scenario elements did pretty much stay exactly the same. Circles get scored by units, rectangles by Beast, Jacks, and Battle Engines, and then flags by solos, and then the objectives, are still the same three objectives. So, and I know that we've talked about it in person before, but maybe with some differences would have been nice flavor. Truthfully, I never find the objectives to be that game-breaking one way or another anyways, no matter which of the three you take. So, and that's coming from a Crix player with a magic objective.
Well, right, because you just never need the Pathfinder one, which has been huge for me in some instances.
I meant with people playing it against me, I still never find the magic one a deal.
Well, it's because it's only the one attack, that's why.
Right.
If someone could give their heavy magic weapons for its full activation and get into a Wraith engine, you would find it a lot more impactful. But
right. Yeah, so that would have been nice. Maybe in the future we'll see some more options come out. Most of the time I find that everyone just goes, I'm just playing the healing one.
Yeah. For the most part. I mean, the incorporeal one is only useful in very specific
magic
games, and some factions also just don't really need Pathfinder, like all their stuff just has it,
right?
Or the board may dictate that you just don't need it.
And again, that's okay, but overall I'm actually pretty happy that things didn't change. I have liked this packet quite a bit. It's definitely new with the scenarios having types to it. Took a little while to remember them all exactly during the game, but it's there now. And we find that the first three scenarios in the packet are not new. We have the pit or the title belt.
Yeah.
Or discount double check or whatever we're calling it nowadays. We have standoff, which is pretty much everything down the center, two circles and two rectangles with objectives. I like that one. It's a lot of elements. Spread to net, which I'm kind of shocked didn't change. I would have been not surprised if the flags had moved up an inch or two toward the center of the board a little bit.
I can see that.
Because, just make them easier to contest for people.
Yeah, because sometimes they get on that side of the board and there's nothing you can do about them. Somebody's going to score them every round.
Yeah, exactly. You can easily be in a position where you're you're giving away 2 points essentially on your one on your turn and one on your opponent's turn for that flag.
Right.
And there's nothing you can really do about it.
That's why I like Kayazi.
Yeah, Kayazi can do good for it. But there's definitely some issues like Grimkin with the bricks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It can be tough.
Yeah. And then Recon changed a little bit. Not big change, but the flags that were in the center of the end of the zones are now in the center corners.
I definitely think that's better for contesting, personally.
Better for contesting. It also, like, it puts those solos that are on it. Obviously, it's not a huge difference in terms of what models can get to them, but in theory, like, they're closer to the center, and so more things can maybe, like, attack the solos that are on those flags.
Right. So there are some options there. Still, those flags, the old placement wasn't as egregious as spread the net.
It was pretty, they were pretty easy to contest already, but now just even more so.
Yeah.
I do think it's hilarious that you can still score with a battle engine. With the tep, you can score with the tep and then put the boops down and score with that on the flag.
Yeah, I guess it is a specialty thing of that model because it wasn't broken enough.
Yeah, I guess the Prime Axiom can do the same thing where it, like, gets in the zone, poops out a servitor, and scores both.
Yeah. But... and then we have our two brand new scenarios. So we replaced Outlast or Outflank or whatever they were calling it this year, which was two boobs. And then they replaced the barbell or dumbbell scenario. The dumbbell scenario became Invasion. So the center rectangle now is up and down instead of left and right, which should be easier to contest than it was before. Sometimes you got jammed out of that center one. There wasn't anything anybody could do about it. And we gained objectives at each end of that scenario zone. So now there's an extra scoring piece that wasn't there before in the scenario, making it probably a little bit more live. I found barbell to be a little dead at times.
Yeah, it's pedal belt and barbell were always a little.
It depending on the list, I felt like that one could either be dead, or if you were playing a list that was fast enough, it could be really, really live for the player who's got the faster models, because the slower player could not contest the middle rectangle zone effectively.
Sure, there was some of that, but by far was the most dead scenario that existed. Now it's called Invasion, but it was the most dead because at least the title belt has two objectives on it so that you can score an extra point in one turn.
Right, yes.
That you didn't have before. And then Outflank or Outlast or whatever it's called, two boobs, changed to a new scenario called Mirage. No longer are the boobs centered. They're offset boobs now. They're cockeyed boobs. And there's a diagonal set of flags going in this as well. And the boobs now have objectives down the center of them. So the far boob is going to be very, very, very difficult to score.
Yes, that is going to be tough to, but at the same time, it's going to be, feels like it's going to, I haven't played it yet, but it feels like it's going to be extremely easy to score your own circle.
That makes sense, because, well, it does go over the center line just a little bit.
It does, but it's, I mean, let's be, we kind of talked about this in that, like, off the podcast, where people are going to deploy kind of centrally, and then
go off the center line,
and then the line will probably start to just skew a little diagonally, so that you're basically fighting over the middle portion of the board along that diagonal line where the three flags are.
Yeah.
That's probably gonna be what happens in a lot of games.
I wonder if this scenario means that solos are more important than they ever were before.
This is why this scenario, for example, is, I think, why I'm personally going to try to squeeze more solos into lists. I mean, if you only have one or two solos, and especially if they're, like, more backline support solo models, this is going to be challenging to keep up with control points scored by your opponent if they have the solos to go out and get those flags.
Right. So, and actually I think a viable strategy in this one at times may be solo sniping.
Yeah.
With that, especially if they only have like two, you're just like, oh, whack, whack. Okay, I took away three scenario elements that you could have scored.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think, speed is also going to be really important on this one. Like, to me, this feels like the most possibly the most live scenario in the.
Whoa! No way.
Yeah.
No, spread the net.
This one you can actually score five. You can score five.
You legitimately score five in a turn.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
You're probably not going to score your opponent's circle in that turn.
Ever. The time that you go and score your opponent's circle once you put terrain into this thing,
but
the game was over.
But the number of times you can score four on the bottom of two, for example, in this one, not that ridiculous. I mean, if you have guns or some way to reach their objective, which is not that uncommon, on the bottom of two, you kill their objective, take the middle flag, and take the flag closer to you and your own zone. I mean, that's four.
Yeah, but you have that also with spread the net. You score your flag and your rectangle almost every single time and spread the net.
Yeah, but
on the bottom of two.
That's two. That's 2 points.
Not four.
Not four. This is four.
I just don't see four that often.
Once you start playing it too, especially with Crix and how fast you get, I think you're going to be surprised with how
I 4 points. It once.
With how 3 to 4 points become super, super live.
Yeah, I played it once in CID, but it was with minions. I was playing Rask.
Like I think a list Satixit, like the Scourge of the Broken Coast, like I feel like they just love this scenario.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned myself being a Kador player.
Yeah, with Grimkin I'm also kinda concerned that I'm not gonna be able to get up the board fast enough to take with either Theme Force to really get at these flags and contest them. Or
I just still don't know if they're more live than spread the net, though.
I mean, time will tell. I also think this one's going to get played fairly regularly, at least initially in tournaments, because it's new and TOs are going to want to put it in, like...
Sure, I mean, this is
why
one of my lists right now, instead of playing more guys in units, I took the last 4 points that I had and said, okay, I'll just put two-point solos in. Was mainly because of this specific scenario.
Must be nice to have that option.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Those two-point solos, it's kind of nice.
You play Scorn?
Wonder how that feels.
You can play Feralgeist.
I can play
one Feralgeist. And that's 2 points, sir, not 1 point.
Well, to be fair, the list that I'm taking in can only take one free solo, so...
Oh. World's smallest violin playing for the Crix player.
What? It's true. It's true. All right, so those are our new scenarios. And it didn't look that much different than what we saw at the end of... CID, so they are what they are, but they came out well. On top of this, we also had a lot of spoilers. The keynote gave us a lot of what was going to come up for the rest of the year. I know some of us are excited about some of these things that existed, and I'd like to go over a few of them. I guess the question is, should we break them up by kind of the themes that they're in, or just go through them all?
I think we should go through them all.
We can go through them all. They won't take that long. All
right. So, for spoilers, which are posted up on our local Facebook page at Buffalo War Machine, the first one that came up was a Tharn spoiler. So there's quite a few Tharn spoilers here with the Tharn CID coming up within the next couple months. We have the Tharn Bloodweaver Haruspex. This is the Tharn Bloodweaver command attachment, and it gives the unit Divined Inspiration. So I'm wondering if this might be, with only one ability, might be a cheaper.
Is Divine Inspiration on other models? I can't remember what that does at the moment. Do we know what that does?
I'm not 100% sure what that does off the top.
I don't remember it on the
It's probably mail. Something in Menoth.
It might be a little cheaper, too, because it is a... I feel like it may have to just be a little cheaper because it is only on a six-man unit.
That hasn't stopped him in the past, though.
No, but... I don't know. It's kind of cool. Bloodweavers are cool. They're also Bloodweavers are also a nice cheap unit. That could cut against using this if the abilities aren't great, because then you're turning a cheap unit into a relatively expensive one.
Right. Well, the problem is that the Bloodweavers lost everything that they used in Mark II that was worth a darn. They lost the ability to strip upkeeps. They lost the ability to get an extra diverse living things. So I really just don't know what they do, and so I'm not 100% sure I'm sold on anything giving them enough without a core unit change. And it doesn't look like they were on the docket to get a change from what we saw during the open CID discussion about Tharn that they had.
No, but who knows? You know, they still could go. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be on the CID list. Because you know how, you know, exemplars were the same way. Even if they didn't make any changes to the units initially, they would still add them to the list. So then somebody might raise a comment about the Bloodweavers and say, like, hey, these things aren't really doing what we want, or what are these meant for? And
well, the problem with
makes them look at them.
Tharn as a whole from Mark 1 to Mark 2 is that they got nerfed a ton. And basically they became all of these infantry killing units and didn't have anything different that they did from one another. They're all about killing infantry with the side of killing infantry. Except for Blood Pack, who
don't do anything.
Didn't do anything after Mark II. To be fair, they didn't do much in Mark II. The only time they did anything was in the Tharn theme with Kaya II, where you got free corpses, and you used to be able to boost range attacks with the Heart Eater tokens, but you can't do that any longer. So,
nope.
I was a Circle player in Mark II. I haven't played them really in Mark III at all. One, because I needed to forget the rules, and two, they changed pretty much everything that I loved. So I do own my Circle still, and I think the CID is going to be a deciding factor for me. And there's quite a few spoilers here for this. So the next one was the Tharn Blood Shaman. This is a Warcaster attachment that gives Harmonious Exaltation and has Battle Wizard, which means it's probably going to have some amount of spell list. They didn't spoil what those spells were, but it's going to have some amount of spell list that hopefully will support either beasts or infantry. It's Tharn, so probably infantry. But Harmonious Exaltation is interesting. One cheaper spell per round.
Yeah, there's a lot of casters who are probably going to want to play in this team that will want to take that. Both Chromax would love, especially Chromax 1, would love an extra fury each turn if he has to cast Bestial or something, for example. And
sure.
I'm sure the new Tharncaster would probably like to take this.
Yeah, new Tharncaster has a lot of buffs and seems very extremely good for them. But I'm excited to see something else. I don't love the Druid Wilder, so in Mark III, but I do love caster attachments, so I'm pretty excited to see something new. I'm hoping that with Battle Wizard, Harmonious is obviously not the only spell that it can cast. Maybe I'm hoping that it gets something else interesting besides Harmonious.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's gonna have
it's gotta at least have an attack spell of some sort, right?
And if it has Battle Wizard, it'll probably have like two, like one actual like attack, like damaging spell, and then maybe some other who knows, you know, give magic weapons out or whatever. Who knows what it'll have, but I'm sure it'll have at least two.
Yeah, support spell of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. We'll see, though. A protection spell for casters would be great. Next up to this, we have a character two-man unit. Sounds like they might be a combat character unit. They spoiled that they're combat experts. They're two-man. One's a medium-based Tharn, and one's a small-based Tharn, named Brigadin Call. And they have Prey, Gang, Quickwork, Treewalker, because they're Tharn, or there's the male Tharn. And they have Countercharge, which is interesting, and Heart Eater as well. Yeah,
typical Heart Eater.
That's part of this. So.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see.
Character units are always cool, too.
Right, they spoiled the kind of the concept art of them, and they are really cool.
Yeah, two-man character unit with, like, Gang, if they both have Gang and Countercharge, that's kind of cool. Because if something ends within six of both of them, and they both get to Countercharge with Gang.
Right. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot to what could be given there. And we do know other things about the Tharn CID, because they did go through a dev talk about them during the Lock and Load. And we know that there's other changes to the Tharns coming. We know that the male Ravager unit's going to get Brutal Charge back, which will really help their damage output going from POW 13 to 15 on the charge. I'm hoping the UA maybe gets a little bit of different changes to it as well. We also know that Blood Pack are going to change. It looks like they're going to start with Hog Wild and become range 12. Still not sure they're worth it at a six-man unit at 20 points, but
I thought they were going to get cheaper too.
They did not announce that during it.
Oh, okay.
So, I think that they would be better or more well-suited probably around the 17 or 18 point range, because then that's about 3 points per model. They did say though that it's likely that the Blood Pack will go up in armor to make them even with Ravagers. So they'll go up to armor 15 instead of 14.
That just makes sense.
Yeah, that checks out.
And I think that's also for an ease of play, so that people playing against it, whenever they're playing against a medium-based Ravager, they always the same.
Yeah.
We also kind of got some information about the new caster. They said that the new caster, Iona the Unseen, will be a small-based Tharn model. And she will give offensive and defensive buffs to Tharns.
So, is she unseen? Is because we haven't seen her until now?
Probably unseen because she does have stealth, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does have stealth, and she gives a strength and armor bonus to Tharn models, which is really cool. It is interesting because it does pigeonhole her probably into the Tharn theme, likely, having a whole feat that only works with Tharn warrior models.
We kind of saw that with the new Protectorate Serenia, right, too? They're kind of designing that way a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm only really going to ever play this caster in the Exemplar theme or Tharn theme.
Right. And that's okay. I think this is where a lot of people have been arguing that themes, the purpose of them are to balance the game, or they're easier to balance. This shows that is true.
Don't we know that she is like an elite cadre or something, or for Tharn as well? I thought I saw like elite cadre like Dodge.
Yeah, I could go through the
pretty sweet ability.
Yeah, I could go through actually what her. I don't want to do it for every CID. Dev Talk spoiler. If you'd like to see the list of those, they're up on our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page, check them out. Somebody was in the Dev Talk in the Circle forums and listed them all. I copied and pasted them all onto our Facebook page, probably because I'm pretty excited about it. It might be something that takes me away from Minions and Crix for a while. You know, I like the bones change, but it wasn't enough for me to switch back to Circles, so this might finally put me over the edge, because I do own at least one unit of every Tharn model, sometimes more, with it, so it's a pretty big deal. But yeah, I can pull that up.
Yeah, she had I think they gave her spell list too.
Oh, I've got pretty much the whole thing for her, or whole kit.
If I recall, there's a spell that we don't actually know what it does though.
Yeah,
like a new spell.
Yeah, and we do know that they're gonna put two other casters, legacy casters in the CID with the Tharn.
Yeah.
That'll be the Morvanas. Everyone thought it would be the Cro-Max, but they did spoil to say that it'd be the Morvanas. A lot of people were complaining about this. I actually think this is okay, personally. People complain about Cro-Max 2 being poopy, but I think with Call of Wild, he's actually really strong.
I think he's pretty good.
And I don't think that there's any problem with Cro-Max 1 if like things like the Stalker and stuff start to come down in points. And that would fix him. There's nothing wrong with his kit either.
Well, in Cro-Max 1, especially if he gets like the new attachment for like Harmonia, he's always had Fury problems, mm-hmm. and so having Harmonious Exaltation, so he's Cro-Max 1 is going to be getting some new stuff.
Yeah, or Morvana 2 just simply didn't work.
Not really.
So
she was another one that just scarred people a lot in Mark 2 and. They overdid it
right.
a little bit.
So I do have Iona's abilities up here. We know that she is going to be a 7 Fury caster. She is going to have Elite Cadre for Tharn Dodge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really and good. We do know her feat is +3 Strength and Armor for Tharn models. It also looks like we might get to reroll attack rolls. I'll be surprised if all three of those things stick.
Yeah, pretty, that'd be impressive.
Pretty incredible.
After CID. Yeah. And then beyond this, we find that the spell list is Hunter's Mark. Broadsides for melee attacks on the battle group, which is interesting. I'm not sure how good it will be. Surefoot, which seems pretty
that is a really good
ridiculous.
Spell.
Yeah, they give with everything dodge. +2 dodge, +2 defense, and no knockdown.
Like a unit of... blood trackers with Surefoot on them, even though they're not tough, but like still just defense 16 blood trackers,
or even male Tharn's going to 15.
Yeah, it seems that is an awesome spell for her.
And male Tharn's have tough, so no knockdown tough.
Yep.
And dodge.
With dodge too. So yep. If you're not even, you know, you miss them the next attack, and then that you buy after they tough, and then they walk away.
Yep. And then she will. She also has Phantom Pursuit. I think this is the spell that we don't know what it does.
Yes. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see what that does. It sounds like it's going to be her signature spell with it. So I'm pretty excited about this. This looks like it will make Tharn hit hard. Fury 7's nice, not only because it means that she will be able to run a reasonable battle group with her Tharn, but also it feels like she'll be able to cover a lot of distance with her Tharn. We do know that she's also speed 7, which is not uncommon for a female Tharn model, because they're all speed 7. And like the other female Tharn model, she does have stealth.
Yeah, I would have been... her being Fury 7 is a big deal. I think everybody would have expected, okay, like, oh, small base Tharn caster, probably Fury 6. But Fury 7's fantastic.
I would have thought so too, because they're not known to be spell
people. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Serenia and with the Exemplar one. I mean, she is a 6, and nobody was shocked that mm-hmm. she is a 6.
And there's a lot of other changes. They didn't really say for the Tharn all the changes. We know we've seen the Ravager change because it was spoiled already. Wolf Riders are being talked about changing, but we don't know much about it yet. Nuwala for the blood trackers, holy crap. It looks like they're going to change to have a mini feat that'll allow them to change their prey target.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm still hoping that they get reposition back though, because at range 7s, honestly, they just don't have the survivability probably to still be worth it.
Swapping prey though is really good. Like at any time. That is tasty.
Right, exactly. the champ looks like it's going to go up to 7 points, but still be free in Devourer's Host theme, and go up in points. There's also talk that it might get Veteran Leader, which Ooh. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
But again, all of this, it's the white man that'll get Veteran Leader. The champ will be the Wolf Rider solo. But 7 point free solo, yeah. In it. Yeah, so there's a lot along that. There's a lot more if you go online and look at our Facebook page for spoilers and that. Next up on the list is starting to get into the Scorn items. So this had Paul extremely excited because so he's cool. Recently invested so. Into the Exalted theme. Scorn may never be a full faction for him, but
But Immortals. This is why I wanted to play the faction was this theme force. Mm-hmm. And so the first, I'm super excited about the Immortal stuff. The first one to talk about is the Immortal vessel, and this guy is going to be Zaltu's best friend ever, because he has a Channeler. Which Zal would love to have right now. I mean, his threat range on Sunder Spirit assassinations is already pretty high, but now having an Arknode to threaten that with as well is would just be incredible. He also has Telemetry, which is +2 to magic attack rolls against models within this guy's command range. I think the Nephilim Bloodseer, I believe, also has this ability.
What, Telemetry?
Yeah.
So does the Sacrivolt.
Yeah, I'm getting that right. +2 to attack.
Magic attack
rolls. Yeah, magic attack rolls. Yeah, I knew it wasn't damage, but... so I guess the limiting factor here is what will his command be. I was guessing probably a 7. It could be a 6, I guess. It could be an 8, but probably 7 would be safe to say. His speed sure. will also matter. If he's speed 5, that's not ideal.
Is he an actual stone person?
He doesn't look like it from the artwork. Actually, now that I'm looking at him again, he is. So he might be speed 4, and that is not ideal on an Arknode, as Blindwalker players know. But
right, but the difference there is that, one, he's not going to be 10 points. And with him not being 10 points, he's certainly going to he's going to be cheaper just to be able to run.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to take 2 of this guy. I think you're just going to be taking 1. He's probably going to be 4 points, I would guess.
And he's
probably not in this theme force because there's a bunch of 6 and 5 point solos that are really vital to take. You're probably actually paying for him. But I think I would quite happily pay for 1 with Zal. The nice part is if he is immortal, at least with Zal 2, he would benefit from the feat. So you could possibly get him into a position where on the next turn, he's not going to get like shot off the board or something on the feat turn.
Yeah.
And then the next turn he can run and get where he needs to be, maybe.
Right.
But and telemetry making Zal, if you count Veteran Leader from Hakkar, and then telemetry, Zal becomes essentially Fury 10 for the purpose of casting spells. So he's now all of a sudden, like against defense 15 casters or something, you don't have to boost your Sunder Spirits to hit anymore.
Right, so you're getting another spell or two out of it.
Yeah, and then you can also now hit those caster like defense 16 casters that are they're in cover. You can still hit them quite reliably.
Exactly.
Fury 10. So I think this guy's going to be pretty useful, at least with Zal 2. I don't know if some of the other immortal theme casters that you see will take him. Like Xerxes 1 certainly doesn't care about him.
What about Zal 1 though?
It could be okay. I mean, to me, this guy seems tailor made for Zal 2, but Zal 1 could probably get some use out of him. It's just points are going to be really tight in this theme force, especially if immortals are the only real unit still that I don't know if you're going to have the points, and he's going to be worth the points with Zal 1.
Sure. Zal 1 also brings less War Beast points.
Yes. So, yes.
Because of the Kavas.
Right.
But there's definitely interesting and get some more options in there with him. There are other solos, or one other solo that was spoiled. With it, I think Hakkar might be jealous of him.
Hakkar is a little jealous because Abaddon, the keeper, he has weapon master. We don't know if he's got one or two attacks. Probably one, I would guess. But also has righteous vengeance, which is kind of cool that they might be they're showing that they're moving all these like character guardians with Zal II, Hakkar, and now Abaddon, giving them righteous vengeance. So like vengeance on the whole army is kind of becoming a thing. It'd be kind of cool if like Ancestral Guardians pick that up as an ability too. It'd be really neat.
I mean, it would help with their damage output for sure.
Well, Righteous Vengeance, not Weapon Master. Weapon Master would be awesome.
No, just getting extra attacks.
Extra attacks is always good, but...
Because they kind of hit kind of hard.
I don't think Hakkar is going to get Weapon Master, because I don't think POW 18, Mat 9, POW 18 Weapon Master combo strikes is probably acceptable, but it'd be awesome if they did. I mean, it'd be nice if Ancestral Guardians also got Weapon Master, but... And the other ability he has is No Sleeping on the Job for Immortals, which currently they don't have tough. But that's not to say there could be some other release in here that grants tough, maybe.
Well, and we don't know what they're going to change for the legacy models. They never really gave any... Right.
They could theoretically give Immortals themselves tough.
Right. You have to imagine that Immortals themselves are going to be a part of this CID. I mean, they could just simply make Immortals slightly less in points, and that would go a long way to help.
Yeah, making them cheaper would be awesome, but also if they leave the cost the same and like give them tough, and now this guy's got tough, no knockdown.
Right, but the cheaper points would also be nice because they would give you room for new stuff.
For all this cool stuff. The nice part about Abaddon is he's probably going to be free. A free solo option.
Right. I think the question about him is, though, is what is it that when they say a combination of support and combat solo? We get the Weapon Master as the combat solo with Righteous Vengeance.
Yeah, support might could imply more than No Sleeping on the Job, possibly.
You would hope so. And then it's probably going to be Command 10.
Yes, I mean, Hakkar's Command 10. He doesn't replace Hakkar. I mean, Hakkar does a different type of support role with Veteran Leader, which the whole list desperately needs.
Because they're all mat 6, right?
They're all mat 6. Well, other than the solos. The solos are very high mat. Like, Ancestral Guardians are mat 8. Hakkar's mat 9. Abaddon will probably be mat 9.
I would bet he's mat 8.
Yeah, I think he is, too.
Because if...
Oh, then he'd be mat 10. Yeah, that's true. But effectively, all the solos are mat 9 when you factor in Veteran Leader, which is really good. But the Immortals themselves are only mat 6, and that's not great.
No.
But that is their big weakness, is being able to hit.
Right, so the question is will he support something more than just No Sleeping on the Job?
We'll see.
Like, could he have an elite cadre of some sort?
It's not usually just Tidecaster.
He might do something. I could see him doing something like I could see him granting something like No Sleeping on the Job Immortal, and then also like tough within his command or something.
Right.
So tough granting tough no knockdown in a 10-inch command bubble would be awesome.
Usually, isn't their command pretty crummy though?
No, on the Guardian, on the like Hakkar is command 10, and this guy would probably almost certainly be command 10.
All the regular Guardians are also 10s.
Yes.
Good as it gets, anyways. And then we have the new Scorn battle engine.
Yeah, this thing looks awesome. Yeah.
The Supreme Guardian.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too. Just seeing it on the board.
Well,
yeah,
it's going to have a range attack.
Yes,
which has assault
is necessary. We don't really know what Fires of Rage will do 100%, but it does. It is magical. Which that's not uncommon for immortal type stuff. All their stuff tends to be magical.
Right.
Continuous fire is nice. Which continuous fire makes me think it might be a spray.
What good does beacon do?
Beacon is going to be great for this list. beacon giving plus 2 inches of movement on the charge and charging for free, I believe. That's not going to be the huge deal. The big deal is the plus 2 inches of movement. Because now you're talking about, with an Ancestral Guardian hanging around, Immortals threatening 13 inches base without Vengeance being triggered.
So I guess the question is it going to be a spray?
I think I could see it being a spray.
So in theory, you could beacon more than...
Right. That's why I could see it being a spray. The unfortunate part with that is sprays are obviously shorter range than than other guns.
The other question to it becomes, is it going to be just that, or are we going to see theme force changes in this?
I don't know. Theme force changes possibly, but
I know you dislike, I was hoping one of the abilities.
Death Rage is a garbage ability in this theme force. I would love to see advanced move on a unit or something.
Right, but if this gives beacon, that might take away from that possibility.
Yeah,
it could. There's, I don't know, just Death Rage is just terribly, real bad. I mean, something really cool that they would never, would probably never do is make War Beasts in the list count as constructs or something. Could be like a double-edged sword in that, like, you can't heal them, but they could benefit from some... I'm looking at everything through Zol 2 glasses, and that would be awesome with him, but not so helpful with some of the other casters. But I think the Theme Force could just... Death Rage just needs to go give Beast some other ability.
Well, that's just it. We don't know what casters they're also going to look at with this.
No.
Right? Like, are they going to do something off the wall? Or are they going to look at... Exalted like casters, so they will they look at Zol 1 and Zol 2?
I think Zol 1 at least is deserving of a little look.
You know, will they look at other things that deal with souls? Maybe a Mordekaar?
They've hinted at in certain other chats, I believe, that Mordekaar is a strong candidate to get looked at.
Because we do know with this CID there will not be a new caster right now.
No.
Unless they, of course, change their mind.
Exactly, but Mordekaar is kind of high on my list for casters that could be fixed a little bit in Scorn. I would love to see him in the CID. It'd be really cool.
Well, he is soul oriented.
Yeah, he would fit the theme of this theme force too. I mean, you can take Void Spirits in the theme force already. Mm-hmm. So if you could then play like a bunch of Immortals backed up by Despoiler would also be great in this theme force too, because he has Dark Shroud, and that's one of the big problems this list has as well, is cracking the really high armor.
Okay.
And Dark Shroud would be excellent. But to finish up on the Supreme Guardian, it also has Arcane Vortex, so it presumably is going to be able to gather souls, like all the other solos in that theme force, and use souls for Arcane Vortex, which is cool, because he's going to be on a huge base, so the Arcane Vortex range is going to be pretty big.
Right.
He also has Assault, which is going to be awesome for Beacon. It's a little awkward to make Assault work on a huge base, I think. I mean, the Dracodile does it, I guess, but...
It works. I mean, it's... Nonetheless, it's an extra attack one way or any way you put it.
Like, yeah. I'm hoping it has another couple abilities, and I'm sure it will.
Well, we know it's going to have a big-ass sword, because it's have holding a big-ass sword.
Yeah, right. I'm hope, you know, this could easily be like a POW 18 or higher... melee attack, maybe with like rapid strike or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh! Now that I think about it, like I'm thinking, like just make this a Wraith Engine, please. Just make it rapid strike with one attack with Dark Shroud. That'd be just
can we not?
That'd be just amazing. It wouldn't be incorporeal.
Oh, that's true.
And that's also one less attack because Wraith Engine has two.
Exactly.
Or two
my god, that'd be perfect. I'm super excited because the model's gonna look sweet. It's not gonna be that hard to paint, because Immortals are not hard to paint, but it's going to be awesome. And then there could be additional stuff along with these three mentioned releases.
I mean, I think the big one is we don't know what also the Legacy stuff's going to be.
Yeah. It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, and then we also know that there is going to be no longer a Living Pirate Merc CID as announced before. Now, instead, there is going to be a Steelhead CID, and they did spoil some Steelhead guys. First one would be Steelhead Arcanist, which is going to be solo. He's going to have Empower Revelé, which seems like that'd be huge for Steelheads. And he's going to have leadership for Steelheads for weapons to gain Blessed.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a nice...
I still think, though, that is Blessed
isn't it
better than Magic?
Yeah, I think it is, personally. More people have defensive upkeeps.
I just always thought one of Merc's weaknesses was Magic. On top of this, they're going to also get some artillery pieces, one of which is a siege weapon, a cannon crew, with range 14, POW 14. And it also sounds like that maybe the one of the themes might change to allow them as a free option, so that would be interesting as well to go along with that. You know, can't... The artillery, I think, in this edition of the game is a lot better than the last one. Because remember, they can also be a small unit to score the back end of a circle zone.
Yeah, that's true.
While still shooting across the whole damn circle zone. So there's definitely a lot there.
This might get me back into Mercs a little bit, actually.
Well, you own a bunch of Steelhead stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this kind of works for you without costing you a ton of extra.
Yeah, get Damiano back on the board.
Right, the quintessential Steelhead. And we don't know about casters. We don't know if there's a new one going to come out. We don't know if they're going to look at some legacy ones with this.
New Steelhead caster. That would be a lot of fun.
Right. I don't think there's any reason for them to look at Damiano himself. He's pretty stupid as he is.
No, he's fine.
Yeah. Then we start getting into what we're considering the 12 factions of Christmas, which we apparently aren't getting in the same vein that we did last year.
I just think it's funny that the first year that they, after they announced, like, well, we're going to give everything one release a year at Christmas time, it's immediately like, no, never mind. It's not going to be everybody.
Well, apparently it came out to be that they weren't happy with what it sounds like is they weren't happy with the CID itself. If that makes sense, having 12 different factions, or now 13 different factions, all spouting stuff out at once in the CID forums.
Too much.
It was just too much.
Too much varying opinions and changes to deal with, from balancing issues. And
yeah, that makes sense.
From what I heard, or what I heard quoted, was it almost killed Will Pagani. Yeah, let's not kill Will Pagani. No, what he's doing for us.
We need him to yell at Billy to get better pencils in our Facebook comments. So.
True.
I type that shit up the next time, damn it. And I tagged him on it. Nonetheless, we do know that things are going to be broken up into blocks instead. Everyone's still going to get a yearly release. It still sounds like maybe this year it's still going to be toward the end of the year, hopefully. I know for our Christmas exchange, this type of stuff is kind of nice. But that they might be coming out in blocks, and also we might see them a little bit sooner at conventions. So some of these things we might see simply right at War Machine Weekend.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yep.
With it... So the first one that we saw of this group was from Minoth, and it was the Initiates of the Order of the Wall. So Order of the Wall stuff, which means more paladins.
Yeah, I could avoid that.
Yeah, paladins are just rough. But we do know that this is going to be a small defensive paladin unit. It's going to be a three-man unit is what it sounds like. They're going to have steady, they're going to have set defense because they have a large two-handed axe. And they're going to have something called Unbreakable Wall. So this is a new ability that I don't think we've seen before. So it's when they're in base to base, instead of plus two like Wall of Steel, they're going to get plus three armor.
Well, and it's instead. A little... This also says cumulative.
Yeah.
So cumulative, I can read it a couple different ways. I'm not sure if they're saying, like, capping out at plus three for each other model base to base, or if it's plus three for each one of them that's in base to base.
I would not be surprised if it's a three-man unit. You could get right plus with each armor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but it's a little ambiguous to me. But
and there's a good chance that it's a five
health
unit. Yeah,
they seem really cool to me.
Yeah. Well, until you realize that Harbinger exists in this game.
Oh no, that.
I mean, obviously you have to play them.
Every time you think about like, oh, new meta stuff, this could be cool. Then you think about like, oh, it's gonna play with Harbinger,
which they're talking about buffing.
Right. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't understand why the command range needs to go to 12. So
I'm okay if it doesn't.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it's kind of cool for Minoth players with the possibility that could exist here.
Yeah, I think we've kind of always expected them to get a paladin unit of some variety.
But. And their theme force that this would be played in would be Faithful Masses.
Right.
Which probably won't get looked at again because it just got looked at this time last year, or the Christmas CID last year. Right. Which might have been why it was so rough. 12 factions and then multiple factions, including Minions, Signar, and Menoth, all had theme forces looked at too.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
A little too much. For it. But that doesn't mean that in these smaller blocks we won't see theme forces looked at. I don't think Faithful Masses will be looked at because it is used on a pretty reasonable amount. It's not overused, but it's also...
It's quite common. Underused. Yeah, it's quite common.
Yeah. But I do still see Creator's Might and Exemplar and stuff mixed in, at least.
Yeah, especially Exemplar with that new stuff rolling out. At some point, you're going to still see plenty of that.
And then the next one up, though, I do believe we will see a theme force looked at, and that is the Kador release of the Grey Lord Adjunct. This guy's cool.
I'm pretty excited about a guy that's not a dog.
Yeah, so you want to say his abilities?
Yeah. A guy that's not a dog.
So he's got spell-based Warcaster attachment. He's got Spell Barrier, which one's that one again?
You can't be targeted by spells when you're in base-to-base with them. The caster can't.
That's pretty big.
I guess it's all spellcasters if they changed it to the new wording, because they just changed Spell Barrier before. It's the same thing that the Menoth Jack has, the Devout.
Yeah, that would be pretty big. And then he's got Arcane Assist, which I'm suspecting is what Silas has, right?
This guy is Kador Silas.
Yeah, it's
Kador Silas. He literally has the next two abilities on him are the abilities of Silas.
Yeah, and then Spirit Conduit, which allows you to upkeep for free.
No. That is not what that does. Arcane Assist is the signs importance for spells.
Spell. That's the star action,
and
right?
Spirit Conduit is the plus two range for spells.
Oh, okay, because I haven't played Silas in all of Mark 2 or 3, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he's fallen out of favor a little bit.
So, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm hoping he has some kind of attack spell.
He might not.
He has a Grey Lord, he'll probably have some little...
Yeah, he'll probably have the spray.
Magicals, the cold spray or something.
Yeah, I guess he could.
That wouldn't surprise me. But he does have a sword. I see it in the back of his picture here, which I'm hoping is also magical. And I'm hoping that I can take him outside of just wolves.
That I don't know about. That's the only unfortunate part.
I was just like, I like this guy, but if I can only take him in one theme, it's going to be a lot more disappointing.
It is a spellcasting theme, though, at least.
Sure, but, I mean, if you're going to take Zarkova, which is somewhat popular in that theme, she's already immune to spells. She can't be targeted by spells.
Sure, but,
But, yeah, the rest of his kit would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, but still, giving signs importance to a spell and plus two range is big, especially for Zarkova 1, because doesn't she already have something that she can do once a round that gives plus range? So,
ooh, Old Witch 2.
That would seem like a very reasonable caster in that regard.
Oh, that could be dirty.
It's easy to protect him, too, if he just stands right behind her base-to-base, given her spell barrier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then the plus two range with her, with Scourge.
Yeah, he could be a good friend with Old Witch.
Signs and portents on the Scourge.
Yeah, so nonetheless, and again, we only get a few blurbs, so obviously we don't have full rules on these guys, so they could have more. So if you're excited about what they do so far, it probably means that it can only get better from there. The next one up is for Crix.
I don't think we need to talk
about
that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, no.
I'm actually sitting here painting my Bane Knight unit, or my second Bane Knight unit, as we talk. This is a defensive command attachment for the Bane Knight, so Bane Knight officers. The defensive aspects of it is Serpent Coils, which is going to be defensive strike for the unit for one round. It's a mini feat. And then reposition 3, which it sounds like for the unit, so hoping that its tactics not granted. That is huge. I know that there's a lot of complaints on the forums, on the Crix forums, about this guy, and I just don't understand it. The ability to reposition when you have Wall of Steel is huge. Instead of having to charge in that range, it means that you can move back. These guys already have Ghostly because, you know, Banes. And in doing so, that also means they can reposition out of melee or reposition beyond guys to get out of the way for more Banes to come in. So there's a lot there that reposition does for these guys. The other thing is, and why I'm probably more excited, because I am a big Bane player, is that it's going to be another UA I could take for free. I no longer am I pigeonholed, because you take Tartarus for free all the time. He's worth 6 points. You take one unit of Warriors because of Dark Shroud and Weapon Master and all that. But sometimes after that, you're like, well, what's my second or my third free thing going to be? And there isn't another good option. So hopefully this guy is a good option for that. It doesn't look like he has a pair. It looks like he's single. So maybe he will only cost like 4 points.
His concept for it looks pretty good.
Which means you might just be able to pay for him if you have to, rather than take him as a free card.
You could also pay for him if you're taking like two sets of... I know that there's some people that wish that he's 5, because that would make an even 20 points for a free something.
Sure.
I don't have that sentiment.
It's a weird world that we live in. I hope this is a little more expensive.
Well, so. Why I don't care about that is because Warriors are 16, so it still evens out if he's 4 and I'm paying for him.
Right.
Yeah. To a round number. So, so nonetheless, it sounds extremely cool. And I'm really excited for it. The next one after this is the Grimkin release. Yes. I think it's kind of what Paul wanted, and that it is the Clockatrice.
Yeah, it's really cool to get a new heavy. That's kind of what I've been wanting for a little bit with Grimkin, is sometimes you have the lack of options sometimes in the Dark Menagerie theme force especially is kind of frustrating. I'm hoping this guy might be a little fast. It'd be awesome if he was speed 6. He's probably not going to be a combat monster. Like, he might be okay, but flight is nice because it gives a little bit more of a pseudo Pathfinder workaround. And then he's going to have a gun with paralysis. We don't know what form the gun's going to take.
Do we know it's going to be a gun, though?
Yeah, they mentioned it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was mentioned that he's going to have a gun with paralysis.
Okay. Because the thing just says paralysis. Yeah. I didn't know.
I could see him having paralysis and melee weapons, too, which would also be really great. Ugh, but
not both. That'd be gross.
That'd be good.
Could he be in the level of, like, a 3 Fury?
He could be.
Heavy that fits in the point slot between Skin and Moans and Cage Ragers and your lights.
I would love for him to be like 12 points. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He kind of fits between where
right.
You're getting something stronger, a little bit more durable than a light, but then...
Yeah, if he was like a POW 15 heavy with Fury 3 with a paralysis gun or something, and we don't know what his animus is going to be. So if you brought like a cool, useful animus, I'm definitely buying two of these guys as soon as they come out. It's the model, the concept art looks really wacky and cool too. It's like a demented cuckoo bird that's like kind of mechanical.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if his Animus is going to do something with time. He's got a big clock on his chest.
It would be interesting. I don't know what there's got to be some kind of story between for the reason of
hopefully
having the clock.
Hopefully it's not Future Sight. Just don't be Future Sight.
Immediately gets Future Sight.
It could be. No. Why wouldn't you want it to be Future Sight?
I don't want that. I want a useful Animus.
Future Sight would be gross on a Scanmon, though.
No, you can't put it on other things, can you?
Yes, that yeah, one you can. That one is not self.
No. That actually sounds really good, then.
Future Sight on a caster? I know you're huffing and puffing over there, but I kind of would like Future Sight on Butcher 2. Or Butcher 3.
Sure. Not a lot of the Grimkin casters, I don't think, would love Future Sight. I mean, one of them already has it, for example, too. Who? Like, Dreamer already has Future Sight for her.
I was thinking Old Witch.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of Animus is going to have, but...
To be able to cast Scourge and not have to boost?
I don't know. I'd like... Repulse would be awesome.
I mean,
I would love for this to be speed 6, though.
If it's Repulse, you're not getting speed 6. Sorry.
Yeah. Angels are speed 7. Come on, what's the price? What's the problem here?
Yeah, they're Legion. But I guess something like Repulse wouldn't be completely bonkers because it is kind of a bricky faction.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Break up the things that come into the brick to give you room to pass by.
Yeah, it's not like Legion with like where they can still use Repulse to really like get super fast and push you out of scenario real quick. I mean, the Grimkin are not going to push you off. They're not going to jam you off a scenario with their Beast Brick. Not going to happen, but.
Sure, and we've seen Repulse in Beast Bricks before because of the Agonizer.
Yeah, Agonizer has it. And it's definitely not over the top there.
It's just not something your caster would cast very often unless it ends the game, probably.
No.
So I think
he's going to be cool no matter what. I'm going to buy. I'm going to get two no matter what because, I mean, he'll probably be good.
Probably.
He's going to go through CIDs. Probably, they're not going to let him come out of CID and be, like, next to useless, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're limited in so much, so you're probably going to get something that's pretty good all around.
And there's so few guns as well in the faction, especially on the beasts, that having another gun... Hopefully it's not just paralysis and do no damage or something. If it's even if it was just a POW 12, a range 12, POW 12 gun...
Nope, get a POW 5.
That'd be... You know, great. That's all I would want.
That's fair. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of interest here. I think everyone was excited about how cool it is. I don't actually like Grimkin's look, but this thing looks pretty...
It's crazy looking.
Pretty cool, yeah.
I might get one just to have someone else paint it.
This could be like a sweet... this could be a sweet like end boss for a D&D.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The last of those spoilers was the Well of Orbros. So it looks like Circle is going to get a structure.
I'm actually most concerned about this one out of all the releases.
Okay. Well, let's go through the abilities first. So we know that it is a structure that represents the powerful ley line. So this is no secret. That the big thing that Circle does is they tap their energies from the ley lines. This is how they move around the world. And we also know it's going to support constructs. We know that it's going to be allowed in more than just bones. They did say that. Sounds like it's going to be allowed in everything except for the Wolfsworn theme.
That makes sense.
Yep. It's going to aid in corpse collection. And it's going to teleport models from off the table.
What?
Yeah.
They did clarify this in the CID DevTalk.
Yeah.
What it's going to do is at first when I heard that, it sounded like it was going to be able to take models off the board and take them off and put them back on again. That is not what it sounds like it does now. It looks like that once per game, it's going to allow a 6-point solo or less to come into play.
Any 6-point solo. Any
that's not solo. In your list or something.
Yep. What's that? That's well, it's going to ignore FA.
Yeah.
So for instance,
so you could just like, oh, I need a Blackclad Wayfarer.
Right.
Like, pop. There's a Blackclad.
Exactly. So it sounds like it's going to be able to do that. I also think this is why we're seeing things like Lord of the Feast and stuff and the Champion go from 6 points to 7 because now it's not going to fit that free solo aspect of it. But there are a lot that's going to be free. I would also be surprised if it allows like the caster attachment solos and stuff. It's probably just going to be actual solos that go around the board, but I could be wrong there.
That sounds really cool.
Well, it does sound cool, but I think they can get away with it because Circle has some of the shittiest set of solos that exist in the game.
That just sounds like a really cool new design concept for them. Like, we've had recursion before and, like, adding models with, like, things like Alexia and, like, popping out solos from Alexia, but we've just never had a model that's, like, this model was not in your list. Pick anything from, like, any solo from your faction within there might be certain limits and put it on the board.
I mean, the pot does it.
The pot does it. I guess that's the close. That's probably the most analogous thing, maybe.
I guess.
Pasta pot.
Sure.
I just think that it's cool to have that in other places.
But the pasta pot really only has three choices. You're going to have more.
You're going to have a lot of choice.
Here, because assuming that caster attachments can't be added. Because they said that it looks like you're going to be able to do it even outside of theme, which means that you're going to be able to bring Wayfarers into other things that you couldn't before.
Yeah, that's the coolest. Like, I could see the Blackclad Wayfarer becoming the really common one to...
Right, so it looks like the ones that are going to fit, because Lord of the Feast is going up, the Tharn Ravager Shaman is going to be one. This means that I can always port something on the board that can give magic weapons out.
Very useful.
Which is really cool. We have the Tharn Ravager White Mane, so we can get Veteran Leader or something that can just hit kind of hard. Blackhead Wayfarer is probably the one that everyone kind of thinks of first because it can give out Hunter's Mark, which would be huge. The one that interested me when I was looking at this was actually the Bloodweaver Night Witch, because she has Killing Spree and can really start mulching infantry models, but she also means that I have the ability to bring Grievous Wounds into any list I want.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Reeve Hunter, probably not a big deal. I'm not sure how this is going to interact with something like Una. My guess is because you can't attach something to her, she's not going to be able to.
Yeah, you must not be able to.
Or they might have a character clause on it.
Yeah, it could say non-character. That's a good point.
The Stone Shaper, getting more of those could be cool. Werewolf probably doesn't matter. And the last one is that actually is intriguing to me, because my guess is that because it is bringing it in, it's not going to be able to act that first turn. So it's probably not going to get an action until the second turn. But the one that interests me then is Gallows Grove, because where it might not be able to get an action right away, you'll still be able to port 5 inches with it. If it gets an activation, and nothing's going to be able to stop it from being able to channel through it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it could be something that allows you to channel for it. So there's a lot of interest there. I don't know how the whole corpse collection aspect of it is going to go and what it does for the list, because outside of the Tharn, I'm kind of trying to figure out where else corpses matter.
And it's like Lord of the Feast, and it's like... about it.
Yeah, and then there's Death Wolves, which...
Yeah, but those are kind of... Well, they're not Tharn, I guess.
But they can be taken to the Tharn theme at current.
Right.
And they can be taken in Wolf Swarm, but they said it's not... You can't take this thing in Wolf Swarm.
Right, so that doesn't apply.
Yeah, and then what is the support of Constructs? Because my worry about this piece is that, let's say, the Tharn theme, while Aiden Corpse Collection could be great, getting a solo, great, but you can't take constructs in the Tharn theme.
I suspect it's going to be like repair. Construct repair.
Sure, but that's my point is so now am I buying a model that doesn't do something in all the themes? Like, if I take it in Bones, where does the Corpse Collection come into play?
I don't know. Well, that smells like, to me, a model that could be really, really good or just completely useless if it's designed wrong.
Right.
Structures are always hard in this game.
This is only, the third one we've seen, right?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, the
Brick House is rough.
The Brick House is not very good, but the new Shrine seems pretty good.
But the Brick House, assuming that the deployment rules change, will be a lot better.
They did change the one on that. They did change the deployment.
Well, we think they're going to.
I think an Infernal rolled on it, I believe. That it's now.
Oh, because I figured it wouldn't happen until the new model.
Maybe it doesn't take effect yet, but I believe I saw some confirmation that it either the Blockhouse is changing, either is changing now or will change when the Shrine comes out to the extra extended deployment range, which is a big help. But the Blockhouse still is crap, in my opinion.
It could really fit into Mirage. Definitely hold down that back zone.
And not do anything.
Yeah. Because you trenches, fair. Though.
So.
Yeah, I'd rather have a unit of trenchers.
Right. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what it really is. There's a lot of questions about that one, I think, more than probably some of the other stuff that exists. New mini crate. Gaston Crossbones came out.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's cool looking. Yeah.
You're not getting a pirate CID, but you are getting...
You get a pirate.
A pirate.
Yes. It's just not actually able to be used in the pirate theme. new Gaston Cross. That's going to be really cool. I think in this last block, there's only one mini crate model left to be seen. So hopefully it'll be something cool. I'm pretty excited that this upcoming month I get my Brigand Warlord. Upgrade model, or my Valkyrie Warlord looking guy.
She looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy about her. I did subscribe. I've been selling off the models that I won't use and then keeping the others, and I've done pretty good. I've got a Totem Hunter that I love, a new Alton Ashley because I hated the old one, and now a Brigand Warlord. So, and I've sold off Tricorner hats, the Gaston when he comes, and
Did you get Ashlyn?
The No Quarter model, or the Mrs. Walls.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Ashlyn model was in the first set that I didn't get. Oh. And I'm not, looking back at it, I'm not that sad I didn't get that. I wish I had the Pharaoh Geist for my minion army.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. Pretty
but neat. Other than that, it's not a big deal. The only other thing I might have would have played with the factions that I own was, Gorman.
Okay.
But that model is only okay.
I did. So. That's probably my least favorite one.
Yeah.
But. The other ones are pretty cool.
So, I don't know. So the rest I would have sold off anyways. But, or unless I wanted to use Ashlyn and make something, and Krix have Dark Angel wings on it. So.
Side note.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten Manowar, the new Manowar box. Pretty awesome. The resin, the detail is crazy on some of the characters and stuff. Like, when the Forge Seer came out, I thought, wow, this is really impressive, all the detail, but they stepped it up a notch, so you should check them out if you have any interest in Manowar. I am building them currently, and this is how I know.
Cool. Yeah, should be nice to see those as well. But I think that's it for us.
Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Beautiful. All right, so thank you for listening to Science Importance. Again, you can find us on the Muzon Minis Network, or you can like us on Facebook at Science Importance WMH. And with that, like I said, all of the spoilers that we went through today, and even more Circle spoilers than I got through today, are up on our either local Facebook page, which is Buffalo War Machine, or the Science Importance War Machine and Hordes podcast page. Like I said, like that, check it out, comment, we'll get back to you and more of our thoughts. Kind of interested in hearing what other people have to think about some of the new stuff that we'll see probably through the end of the year.
Definitely. And if you see us at any tournaments or conventions, please come up and talk to us. We're always interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, we'll see some people at TGX
maybe. Yeah, TGX, and then after that, I think the next convention for us is Michigan Cup.
Yes, probably. So.
All right, sounds good, guys. I'm Bill.
Paul.
And Adam.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.